Well, the next speaker represents the Turkmen community, Almaz Kurbanov. He is a medical doctor and a research fellow at University of Cincinnati.
Thank you. Can you hear me? So, I am a medical doctor. I'm probably the first from this topic, but I am part of this community. Turkmenistan is a small country in Central Asia, and we got our independence in 1991. And after that, we started to build our country, and probably U.S. Turkmen community started to build in 2000s with the new educational reforms in Turkmenistan, which promotes and encourages students to seek better education, share experience with other countries. So this affected many students, and all students from Turkmenistan went across the world, Turkey, other countries, and the U.S. So, as I said, the Turkmenistan is very small, and we have 6 to 7 million population in Turkmenistan, and the green card code for Turkmenistan each year is range from 150 to 170, which is very, very little. That's why mostly of our U.S. community is consists of scholars, students who are not really immigrants, who are here for temporary reason, for acquiring a knowledge, sharing experiences, learning new things. Especially our president, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, is supporting this, and his new reforms is encouraging them to come, to go. For example, I am the one of these students. I did my medical degree in Turkey, then I came to U.S. to do my subspecialty in medicine. So, a Turkmen community, as an official community, we don't have enough people to build it now, but we are in the stage of building it. And as a Turkmens, we like a tight relations. So most our relations are, I will say, communication will be in the level of the personal level, being a guest, coming a guest, and being a guest. So I can't tell much about Turkmenistan, but we have a long history, which I don't want to share here. It's not a topic of our discussion today. But as I said, we like tight relations. If you will ask a question, I will be very happy to answer. I won't promise that I will answer, but I will try at least. That's all. Thank you. And thank you very much for your attention and time and for organizing.
What is your specialty in?
Neurosurgery. Hmm? Neurosurgery.
So if you have questions about that. All right. Last but not least, the speaker, Faruk Taban, is the president of Turkish American Alliance, to speak on behalf of Turkish American community.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk about the other side of the pond.
All
come
the
back
way.
The furthest to the west. So I'm really glad that we have one representative from each single community from the Central Asia Caucasus, and that was. To my knowledge, it's kind of a really unique in the first gathering. And thanks for the participants coming to our office, the headquarters. And I'm also glad that we don't have more than 10 countries in the Central Asia. That it's really hard to fit in this little space. And literally, I'm the last person between. You and the food, so I'm going to be really short, so I'll be for the regular participants I was talking about the communities, Turkish communities in the United States, but really briefly, based on the academic research, there were three main waves for the Turkish community. First one, like early 20th century, during the Ottoman era, there were about 500,000 people migrated to the United States. But out of that, only 30,000 Turks, mostly Armenians, and Greeks and others. And interestingly enough, most of those 30,000 people return back after they work here for factories, companies. They didn't pretty much leave any footprint. The second wave about the 60s, 1960s, mostly doctors, engineers came to the United States. But they started some community activities, the diaspora, but that wasn't enough, sufficient to basically start the community involvement and engagement. And in that time of late 50s, Federation of Turkish American Organization, FTAA, established in New York. So that was the first umbrella organization for Turkish communities. And the last wave, I think we are still in the that transition, like in 80s, people came from various reasons for education, especially after 2000, people came for example, master's students in the United States. The Turkish students ranked number 3 after India and China, so a lot of graduate students in the U.S. overall. And some people came from Black Sea region, some from the Anatolia, some through commerce, some through romance, so you name it, for various reasons. They are still coming kind of a regular basis. And late 70s, Assembly of Turkish American Association also launched. The FTAA and ATAA, pretty much they have about 60 members nationwide. And then Turkic American Alliance and the member organization basically started late 90s, mid-90s, late 90s. So they became a member of TAA, so right now we represent close to 250 member organization nationwide. That's the largest, most active Turkish-American community, not just the Turkish, but the Turkic. And we do state house reception in pretty much every single state capital. And we do conventions. Some of the previous speakers talk about the various conventions, so we do also general Turkic American conventions. Also, we usually attract 10% of the Senate and the House to just give you an idea how important it is for the lawmakers. And in the also more than 100 major cities, we do dialogue, friendship events. So that's also really active to invite poor in the community, from councilmen to the mayors, law enforcement, religious leaders, academicians, elected, appointed officials. So that was well regarded. People get together for those events, exchange ideas. And in a more local level, just to give you an idea, we have really a bunch of really unique activities to get together people. One of them, I would emphasize, like the weekend schools. So really active, almost every single community for the Saturday or Sunday schools, get together for the youngsters from middle school and high school to engage them and just to teach how they play in a productive role in the community. But we still have the challenges, like every community does, like the engagement, I would emphasize. As somebody mentioned, you know, diaspora seems like the political kind of engagement, but we encourage all the individuals, all, not just the Turkish, but all Turkic overall engagements to be more mindful about what's going on in the region. And since our headquarters in D.C., so we try to engage them in our primary audience, like the government, think tanks, NGOs, other agencies, embassies, and the Congress, obviously. So So I think in the last, you know, TA just established 2010, so we are still really, really young. And just to have in the hearts of capital having like 10,000 square feet here, it's just to give you an idea how our basically members, the value, the relation with the Turkic Americans in general. So in Houston, in terms of projects, we did the first Silk Road Festival. So that was really the huge event in terms of scale. Turkstar came from Central Asia, and basically Houston, our member organization, initiated that project. So we are planning to have the second Silk Road Festival, most likely in Houston again. And other projects, so we're going to keep doing those conventions. As mentioned, we will have the second annual the U.S. Kazakh Convention in coming up in December, and our fifth annual Turkic American Convention will be in March. That's in line with the Nevruz Festival. Usually that's the biggest, largest coming event in Central Asia. And we were at the White House earlier this year, so we are planning to involve the White House Engagement Office to help and contribute for another convention. And we were just in the White House today with the Rumi Forum initiated the Eid al-Adha celebration. It's kind of late, a bit late, but still the White House event. So that was really really honored to be part of the White House function. So I think I'm going to stop here.
Okay.
Otherwise,